Stephanie Page Ogburn, who you may also know as DJ Spo on KVNF, is the online editor at High Country News, an avid gardener. She starts her tomatoes and peppers from seed in February and nurses them for 4 months indoors in order to get them producing by August. She loves writing about food, farming, science, and the environment, although when she has writer's block, she fantasizes about becoming an animated filmmaker instead. Stephanie, thank you.
I guess I think that I got my love of gardening and my interest in plants from my grandmother. This is sort of about that and dedicated to her. I've always kind of hated annual flowers. For those of you who aren't gardeners, I'll describe them to you as the trendy fashion accessories of the garden world. Each spring, they fill the greenhouse section of your local home improvement store, looking colorful and perky, sultry and irresistible. In a moment of weakness, you drop half a paycheck on several flats of pink, purple, and orange flowers. You take them home, plop them in the ground, and they brighten your yard for a season. Then, when the first frost hits, the flowers and their shallow, flimsy root systems wither away, never to return. Until next spring, that is, when you go to the store, are once again seduced by color and buy a whole new garden's worth. This comes in sharp contrast to the more stalwart perennial plants. As their name implies, perennials return every year, often bigger and more beautiful than the one before. To my inner Protestant, they are a virtuous and thrifty sort of flower. A one-time investment that lasts a lifetime. Perennials even multiply. You can divide them up and get new plants from your original. It's a great deal. My grandmother, who grew up gardening, although for food, not flowers, felt the same way. As she grew older and her body disagreed with weeding and tending vegetables, she started to pay more attention to her flowering plants. In true form to her Depression-era thriftiness, those flowers that were allowed into her Richmond, Virginia garden were mostly perennials. Mama's purple coneflower was a thing of beauty, growing giant and shrub-like in the warm southern sun. Her backyard bed also boasted the impressive and yearly returning angel trumpet flower, several types of lilies, and my favorite, the delicate, evocative bleeding heart. As she aged, though, my grandmother fell in love with pansies, an annual. I cringed a little, but we rationalized it together. As annuals go, pansies are a little unusual. In our minds, this granted an exception. See, unlike most annual flowers, which are heat-loving, pansies do well in the cold. Okay, I thought, my mama is going a little soft, but she's also getting older, and if she's going to give in to the annual flower market industrial complex, pansies are a good choice. And for the past few years, their bright purple and sunshine yellow livened up the view from her window in winter. This February, as the crocuses in my yard, always a few weeks behind Mama's, were just beginning to poke through the damp earth, my grandmother found out that the cancer she'd fought for over a year, through two courses of soul-crushing, stomach-churning, and brain-killing chemotherapy, was unbeatable. She didn't know when she would die, but she knew it was coming. April arrived, and Mama started planting annual flowers. Well, that's not exactly true. She made me plant them. I visited her a lot this past spring and summer, and each time I came, we'd spend about 10 minutes wedging her unwieldy walker into the back of her Saturn coupe. Then we'd hit the garden stores. We typically go on a Tuesday or Wednesday, the days when seniors get 20% off. You guys know about that, right? Garden stores in Richmond, Virginia are huge. Imagine an IKEA warehouse, but with flowers instead of furniture. So Mama would have to stop and rest while we shopped. Sometimes she'd get cranky and fuss at me because walking that much wore her out. But eventually, we'd get the plants she wanted, our cart piled high with neon yellow and orange marigolds, magenta-striped petunias, and a small flower called vinca that came in many shades. I'd spend the next couple of days planting the flowers. It always seemed, though, as soon as I finished and scrubbed the dirt out from under my fingernails, Mama would be scheming another trip out to southern states or another local greenhouse, because just a few more flowers would look perfect in this container or that slightly bare patch of dirt. As the cancer slowly killed her, my grandmother spent her last summer tottering out to the porch, insisting that she could do it all by herself until the very end, and sitting amidst those flowers. In a world that each day spun farther out of her control as she lost the ability to cook her own food, sign the birthday cards that she regularly sent her many grandchildren, or even read her Bible. In her garden, at least, she was at peace, surrounded by color and life. And if the flowers there only lasted one summer, so what? One summer was all she had left. For those of us with many summers to go, at least we hope. For those of us with many summers to go, though, my mama's last one serves as a bit of a lesson. I've lived most of my gardening life thinking of plants that die within a year as cheap thrills or bad investments. But annual flowers make the most of their short time on earth. Those petunias pour every inch of their being into a four-month burst of bloom. They don't waste effort building roots or saving energy for the winter. I used to think that was a shortcoming. But now, I think it's also a reminder that life is short and beauty sometimes hard to come by. So why not take a lesson from those annuals and enjoy the summer or whatever moment you're in for the fleeting ephemeral wonder it has to offer? Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.